grab a Roman mic?
Afternoon, happy Sabbath. You guys don't sound so happy. Afternoon, happy Sabbath. Guys, what day is it today? But not only that, but it's youth day as well. So can all the youth stand up, please? Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. You weren't expecting that. Stand up, stand up. I see some at the back as well. Right in front of me over here, stand up, please. I see some to the right as well. Please stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up. I'm pointing over here. Guys, please stand up. We're not going to start till you stand up. 40 and under. I'm going to be cheeky. 35 and under. Thank you very much. See, the reason why I think it's key that we highlight and we appreciate, I'm youth as well, don't get me wrong, but we highlight the youth is that you are seen. You are important, and we do appreciate all that you do. Everyone has their own journey to which they're going on, but just because you're not standing on the pulpit doesn't mean you're not important or that you're not valued. So get comfortable. This is your church family, so also try and do your part. But thank you guys for coming here. That's the step one, turning up. You can sit down. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the introduction earlier as well from my brother. Appreciate it. He remembered the sermon as well. For a second, even I forgot the name. But yeah, for today's theme, it's prepare for more. Prepare for more. And my sermon title is nothing special or creative, A Widow's Oil. But naturally, before we start, let's just bow our heads in prayer, if that's all right. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for never forsaking us or forsaking me. Thank you for the safe travel mercies. Lord, I'm just a sinful man whom you've deemed available to preach, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for choosing all of us here today, Lord. Please speak through us, Lord, for a sweet-smelling aroma, Lord, for a sound which will please your ears. In Jesus' name, amen. So I said, today's sermon is called A Widow's Oil. And the theme for today is prepared for more, prepared for more. See, when it comes to Christ, we don't just receive what we pray for. We receive what we've prepared for. So just because you pray, that's not necessarily just enough. That's what I want to invoke today. Prayer is amazing. Prayer is beautiful, but I want us to do more. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." I want you to pray, yes. I want you to believe, yes, but I want you to get proactive. I want us to invoke practice. I want us to move our hands and feet to show, Lord, my prayers are not in vain. My words are not in vain. But this is not an easy process. It's something even I struggle to do consistently. So I just want to give that disclaimer. But I want us to start the wheels on the car so that at least we can get moving and get closer to the Lord. Is that okay for me to say? Upon today's sermon, I want us to appreciate and to dive into this principle of preparing for the Lord's blessing. Preparing for more, preparing for divine intercession. Increased preparation opens up doors for increased blessing. The more you prepare, the more you're proactive, the more you say to God, here is more for you to use. But see, I don't want you to just take my word for it. As we dive into 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, we're going to see or read over or study the story about a widow. A widow whose preparation opened up the platform for the Lord to work in her life. Can everyone open their Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7? Thank you. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, to which it says, in fact, if everyone has it, say amen, please. If you don't have it, say mercy. Don't worry, probation has not closed. Perfect. Thank you. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors' empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour in all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. It's not a very long story, but there's a lot to dissect and to dive into. I'm going to start off with a character profile. And I want you guys to hold on to your Bibles. I want you to walk with me. I'm not just here to teach, but we're here to study together. So the characters we get, we have the mother, who's also described as the maidservant. We have the two children, both boys. And we have Elisha, a prophet of the Old Testament, and also, I guess you could say, protege of the prophet Elijah. And we also have the deceased husband mentioned in the first two verses. But just to summarize the text, we have a woman whose name isn't disclosed, but we know her situation. She has two sons. She's now a widow. Her husband has passed away. But she's in a predicament to which, actually, that they're in debt. We don't know if it's the debt left over or her own, but all we know is she's in debt and a creditor is coming. And it was part of custom that actually if they didn't have the money to pay, that actually they'd take the children to work. And going forward, actually, she reaches out to Elisha, please help. And actually she refers to her husband, to which my husband worked under you, he was your servant, please help. Elisha posing the question, what would you like me to do? What do you have available? There's a vessel of oil. And with that vessel of oil, Elisha says, go to each of your neighbors and ask for more empty vessels. Keyword, empty vessels. I want you to hold on to that. And once they're all collected, he tells her to shut the door behind, to which a miracle takes place in which she pours the oil upon all the vessels. And to which when all the vessels are full, the oil ceases, it's finished. And once finished, Elisha tells her, go sell the oil to not only pay off your debt, but also, it will be enough for you to live on for a while. Reminder, the theme is prepared for more. Prepare for more. Before we speak on blessings and preparing for them, I want us to go to the start. I need us to understand something key when it comes to Christ and his intercession. When it comes to him. Favor cannot proceed if you do not fear the Lord. Favor cannot proceed if you do not fear the Lord. Don't expect blessings if you don't obey. I feel like when it comes to church, when it comes to Christianity, we've adopted this naive mindset of actually, Lord, bless me tenfold. Lord, please meet me where I am. Lord, tick all the things upon my prayer book, yet I don't even obey. Lord, I don't even acknowledge who you are, but simply I come for the favor and what can you provide? What type of relationship is that? Favor cannot proceed if you do not fear the Lord. You don't fear him. But what is this fear in which you're talking about, Casey? Fear of the Lord is not necessarily to hold anxiety or to be scared of him, but it's to acknowledge his stature, acknowledge who he is, and hold submission upon it. So if I was to sum it in for one word, it's obey, obedience. Obedience. Obey through your mouth, obey through your hands, obey through your feet, obey through everything you have. Whether you agree or disagree, obey the Lord. Fear him. If you seek favor, if you seek abundance, step one, favor. Sorry. Step one, fear, obedience. As I said, at times we dance and we're too comfortable in sin, expecting the Lord to intercede. But see, fear of the Lord, it's not subject to provision, but actually it's direct to his character and stature. Lord, I will worship and fear you because you're my Jehovah. You're my El Shaddai, my Abba, my Father. You're my creator. But not only that, because Lord, simply because you are king, even though I don't see the blessings you provided yet, I will obey. Step one, fear and obey. See, amongst verses 1 and 2, the woman, she doesn't have the broadest description. We don't get the most depth about her. But one thing we do find about her and her husband is actually they feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. Amongst verse 1, it says, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord." I must stop there. See, one thing we can find about actually her connection to Elisha is actually it's somewhat through her husband. The husband not only worked under him, but actually she uses this key term. When she says, "you know," it's almost as if she's using it as leeway within the conversation to almost gain favor in both the eyes of the Lord and Elisha. You know. See, so one thing I get from this text is actually when it comes to fear, favor is brought. When we fear the Lord, favor is found. It's as if this fear thing, it is the key to the Lord's intercession. Like the husbands, when we truly possess fear and obedience internally from the Lord, it sets us apart from others. You know, there's a lot of people who come to church who don't truly fear the Lord within their hearts. We can come to church, we can sit, but remember what I said when it comes to fear, obedience. It's not necessarily what the congregation see, it's not what you see about me, but Lord, it's upon my day-to-day life and within my heart, Lord, do I truly fear you and obey you? Before you've even blessed my hands and feet, before you've even provided me with that job or that apprenticeship I need, Lord, do I obey you? Lord, when things are poor, when things are down, when I don't understand my own emotions, and Lord, when it feels like everything's against me, will I still obey you? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Obedience. But see, I'm not neglecting the fact that it's not easy to do so. It would be naive if I was saying, guys, just follow the Lord and obey. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's not easy. So it's better that you start now than later down the line. Establish whom he is. Start your journey now so that you may fear and that may favor more proceed. Fear. It's key that within your own space, within your quiet time, get to know the Lord. Get into the practice of obeying. Not for the sake of others, but for yourself. But you say, Casey, how do I establish him? How do I do such things? In your own quiet place, go to this. Go to your word. You may not know where to start, but this is why I love family. This is where family is such an important thing. If you don't know where to start in your words, you come to a place every week where I hope they open this every Sabbath. Casey, I'm seeking wisdom, open Proverbs. Casey, I'm seeking to understand whom the Savior is, open up the Gospels. Casey, I'm seeking to understand what my commission is, open up Acts. We've got brothers and sisters for a reason. Where I am weak, you are strong. Lord, where I am strong, they are weak. Provision. Prepare not only for yourself, but for those around you. Because I have love for you, and because I have love for the Lord, I know how important he is within your life. Obey. Get into that word. Worship. Read. Study. Question. And if you're not the best reader, open up your ears. Praise God for YouTube. One thing I try and get into each week is I love listening to sermons. Because it's not always first time that I understand the text. But sometimes the way God works through others, I'm able to relay it onto others. It may have not been provided directly to me or through me, but actually, Lord, it's still a blessing. But see, now when I go to this, don't just depend on the sermons. You know why? One thing I learned, but actually, Lord, as much as I can read, I can listen to the sermons, some things you want to say directly to me. Some things you want to speak directly through me. If you don't get it the first time, give it more time. But see, that's where discipline is invoked. That's where discipline comes into play. If you can't do an hour, that's okay. Give him 5 minutes. Next time, give him 10 minutes. Next time, give him 20. The closer you get, the more natural and part of habit, and the more your love grows, the more you actually want to give him more. When you have a love for something, you'll naturally give it everything you have. Is that fair for me to say? The more love you establish and you gain for him, the more you'll want to sacrifice. But it all starts with fear. Understand and establish who he is to you. Lord, what is your character? Not necessarily just to me at this point and now, but who are you in totality? Whether I agree or disagree, who are you in principle, Lord? But see, as I said, at times it's easier said than done. Because if we look at the widow, as we've heard the little summary, it's hard to fear the Lord when he doesn't favor you first. Is that fair for me to say? It's hard to fear the Lord when it doesn't feel like he doesn't favor you first. Lord, when everything is left, it's hard for me to obey. Lord, when it seems like your feet are not walking upon my path, it's hard for me to obey. But I want us to move away from this mindset. Because he hasn't come through for me, I won't obey. Because so much in my life has happened, Lord, I won't respect. We need to move away from that. Question who you are, question who he is. Count your blessings one by one. Think about his grace, think about your decisions, think about the way he operates. The Christian walk won't always be smooth, but it will be rugged. But still, stay consistent. Give him little by little. Give him more and more day by day. Going back to the story, we have the widow. Let's stay on track. She describes her situation to Elisha about the creditor coming. And see, I love verse 2, if we go back to our Bibles. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." To me, it's more than just what do you have. The question I truly see is actually, how much do you believe in God's ability to intercede? How much faith do you have in the power of God? To me, that is what is truly being asked. And that comes with my second point for today. Faith is at the heart of preparation. See, upon her response to Elisha's question, she sees the only thing she had left as usable in the eyes of the Lord. We need to come into a place that actually, Lord, even if I only have a vessel, I know it can be used by you. Lord, if I have only 5 pounds, Lord, it can be used by you. Lord, if I've only got 10 minutes left of free time, I can give it to you. Establish who he is so that you can understand that the little you have, everything you have, anything you have can be used. But see, faith is at the heart of preparation. You cannot truly prepare if you don't believe in who he is. You cannot truly give him the tools to prepare if you don't believe and understand who he is. We go over to verse 4 and 5. We shoot up upon the text. After she talks about the jar of oil, actually from verse 3. Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. He brought the vessels to her and she poured it out. See, amongst the two verses or the four verses, we see Elisha providing the platform for the maidservant's faith. She shows what it means to have fear and faith for the Lord. Rather than questioning or complaining her state, she understands the God she serves. She understands him enough to provide what she has left with no argumentation or issues. This is the type of preparation. This type of preparation is not made through brief prayer or half-hearted relationship with God. Do you know that? When we see the stories in the Bible, one thing it shows me is don't take it for just face value. Don't think you wake up as a Christian one day and you can give him everything you have. Don't think that you wake up as a Christian one day, you can lose your husband, the impossibility of losing your sons, your finances, and still say, "Praise the Lord." No. If anyone said it's easy to just give everything and chuck everything at the Lord, they're lying. But the part in which you don't see on the test ground is actually all those hours put in, all those tears shed upon that quiet war room to which she prayed to the Lord, all those days and months and weeks of scripture she probably did not understand, but she gave it to the Lord. She gave it to the Lord. Outside of this test, outside of the blessing, we have a woman who spent enough time with God to understand his character and his nature. Not in totality, but enough to give him everything she had. She had enough, she had eaten enough bread, of this bread, to understand him, to get to know him. She had digested, she had appreciated, and held on to enough of the word to run with it. You cannot have favor without fear. And you cannot fear God without faith. Faith is belief in him. And deeper faith comes with breaking down who you think you are. Submit to change and submit to the Lord. That's one thing I learned upon this Christian walk. And guys, when I preach, you'll probably hear me say that a lot. Because one thing someone can't ever take away from you is your own testimony. One thing I've learned upon this Christian walk is actually, the Lord has taught me, yes, there's principles of how to walk in him. But actually, in totality, he's given me a 360 on my character. The areas in which I thought I was okay, he said, nah, you're too far. I love you, but there needs to be some change there. I thought I was patient. He showed me I wasn't patient. If you ask my friends over here, I'm very head hard. I'm very hard-headed. He said, you thought you're disciplined? You're not reading enough. You thought you knew me enough, you loved me enough, you're still falling to sin. Come closer. When you come into the presence of the Lord, when you try to truly prepare and walk in his ways, he'll show you bits about your character you never knew. But don't let that scare you away. If anything, draw closer, draw nearer. And see, when we go back to the widow, the way she seamlessly moves is so important. Because remember what I said, she lost her husband, her sons, her everything. I want to highlight that because at times it may feel like the Bible is just theory. But actually, it's practical as well. Put your hand up if you've lost a lot of things in one day. Just put your hand up. I'll put my hand up high. Money's gone. Everything's going left. Lord, yo, I'm tired. And I'll be honest, I've said to friends when they said, just pray, I said, I don't feel like praying. But he never left me. In times in which I should have drawn closer, if anything, I tried stepping away, but he said, no, I'm not done. So it's not just theory, it is possible. It is more than possible. I didn't say it's easy, but it is possible. And it's irony because who wouldn't lose faith? Who wouldn't waver in this type of situation? It's hard to give everything to the Lord when it feels like everything is taken. Youth, I'm talking to you. Is that fair for me to say? Give me a yes, give me a no. Don't worry, I'm almost done. Stay awake. See, when it feels like this, enter into a state of prayer. Pray. It doesn't have to be long hour prayers, but be honest with him. Be honest with him. Lord, I don't feel like praying. Lord, I don't believe right now. Lord, I'd rather do this. He just loves the fact that you're simply close and holding on to his garments. Stay close. Because it's better that you stay close and you question rather than going elsewhere and finding satisfaction or distraction in the world. And actually, this makes me go back to a story within Mark chapter 9, verse 24, to which a father, his son is demon harassed. And he calls out to the Savior, Jesus, as everything seems hopeless. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I have faith, but it's not truly there. Lord, I believe you're there. You're in the flesh. I know you can work, but I'm struggling to truly believe. Call out to him. How do I prepare? How do I fear? How do I obey? Read, study, spend time, but most important, sacrifice. The same way he sacrificed for you, I want you to sacrifice for him. Youth, learn the Lord, but also learn yourself. Guys, put your hand up if you're in a relationship. If you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Don't worry. If your parents are watching, you can keep your hand down. If you're married or in a relationship, just put your hand up, please. This is for everybody. Not every relationship is the same. Is that fair for me to say? What my love language may be may not be my brother's love language. What, how the way he shows his love or draws close to his significant other is not the same way I will draw close to my significant other. So when I say learn the Lord, learn things which will pull you closer to the Lord. Learn things which for you specifically will pull you into a state of intimacy. For me personally, to give you an example, it's worship music. I don't know what it is about worship music, but when it speaks on the character of the Lord and it speaks about how he values me, it pulls me back into an area where actually, Lord, maybe things are possible. Lord, maybe I can keep on going. One of my favorite songs of the week by an artist called Sonny Miso, it was Jesu, my lover, Jesu, I want to make you smile. To some may say, it's a bit too slow for me. It's not as upbeat. But that type of mellow worship, since when I'm angry, when I'm sad, I like to go quiet. I like to draw into myself. That type of worship pulls me closer into the arms of the Lord. So learn the Lord, learn who you are. Read your Bible, study, yes. Take time, yes. But understand what truly works for you. If it's just walking and being honest, saying, Lord, I don't believe you right now, do so, but stay close. Get intimate. Learn your relationship with the Savior. Prepare. Faith is at the heart of preparation. And part three, preparing for my Lord and me. I'm almost done. See, upon the final verses, she was told to collect empty vessels, as many as they could, because remember, the sons were still there. Then they were told to close the door and pour the oil upon each vessel. And actually, at the end, they were able to live from the proceedings and even pay the debt, praise God. But see, I want to tell you something. One thing I find beautiful about this story. When God blesses you, when God touches your life, not all the time will people see the process. People may see you suffer, but sometimes when he blesses you, it'll only be for you to see. When God wants to work in your life, at times he'll say, close the door, it's just me and you right now. Is that okay for me to say, church? I'm sorry, but whether you like or not, that's the way it's going to be. Sometimes, even though you've been suffering and everyone can see it, the Lord will say, when I bless you, when I deliver you, it's just going to be just me and you. Some things are just intimate where it will mean something more. Lord, I was on the verge of losing everything I had, but actually in that quiet space in my room, Lord, my tears fell. Lord, I don't know how, but you provided. Stay close. He wants you to fall in love with him, not just a blessing. He wants you to understand that I'm the provider. There's more to me than just what I can give you. There's my character I want you to remember. Some things have to happen behind closed doors for you to truly appreciate it. He wants to prove you right. You were correct for holding on to me. You were correct for understanding that I can use even just a vessel of oil. Sometimes God just wants you to understand that he had you the whole time. Not every testimony is for the public to see. The test may be, but the result may not be that way. Your preparation is actually, it should be sought before the blessings. You should fear before you seek favor. That's why I said establish who he is. If you seek only blessings, you're in the wrong location. But actually, if you seek someone who truly knows you, loves you, and you want to walk righteously, you're in the right place. Before you see the Lord intercede, you prepare. Be proactive. Not because of what you want, but because of who he is. If I was to ask you where you thought the preparation started, some may say it started upon verses 4-5 when she got the vessels of oil, but actually, to me, it started in verse 1 and 2. From when her husband and her had a culture to serve the Lord, but also to fear God, that's when the preparation started. Before they even stepped into the test, they were preparing. Them simply being in his presence, them simply obeying was preparation for the Lord's divine intervention. Provide the Lord with everything you have before the test even starts so that he may truly get to work. Remember I said with the third point, preparation for my Lord and me. The Lord is unforceful like that. He can only work with that which you give him. You know that? If you don't want him to work, he won't work. But Lord, if you say, I'll truly give you everything, if I truly give you my time, if I truly open up, and I say, do your thing, he will do so. And see, finally, One thing I love about the story is that actually the key factors, the vessels were empty. Remember I said earlier, empty, keyword empty. And I'm going to step outside the context of the story for a second. Just like with the vessels, God wants us to be empty. He wants us to clear out all that painful stuff, all the things of the world. He wants us to clear it out. He can't pour into you. He can't pour that blessed spirit into you. He can't pour purpose into you if you don't let go of the things of the world. Not even just the things of the world. If you don't let go of that fear, that anxiety, that uncertainty, just give it to him. Lord, I'm an empty vessel. I'm ready to be used. Lord, even if it's just a drop, I'm ready to be used. I don't understand the whole miracle process just yet. But just like with the woman, behind closed doors, Lord, this is where it starts. This is where it starts. This is the preparation process. And I asked my brother to play the song, Silver and Gold, Silver and Gold. Lord, you have more value than the things in which I've seen. But I understand that because I was able to give you the time to establish yourself to me. Prepare before the process is needed. Prepare before you even need a blessing. Guys, just give him what you have. Faith, fear, and then favor will surely intercede. Believe him so that you can truly obey. And obey so that you can truly taste and see how good the Lord is. Thank you very much.